than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open, and the clouds drop down the dew. This evening we're going to be looking at three things as we return again to this matter of wisdom, God's wisdom in particular. First, looking at how it is that the wisdom of God surpasses all else. Secondly, how his wisdom is for us a wonderful companion. And third, we'll see how here Solomon uses a powerful testimonial to impress upon us the great worth of the wisdom of God, the great power of his wisdom. So let's look here at the first couple of verses this evening. Here Solomon again is impressing upon his son. God is impressing upon you and I our need to truly value things that are valuable. And again, we see put before us the pinnacle of treasures that we can obtain in this life, that should be the object of our pursuit in our Christian life, is this matter of God's wisdom. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and who gets understanding. Again, we have put before us the idea that this pursuit of wisdom is to involve us actively seeking to grow in our knowledge of and understanding of the Word of God. This is not something like we thought in our old high school chemistry days. We can learn by osmosis. We can put the book under our pillow and hope to attain an understanding, a full grasp of the chapter that we'll be examined on tomorrow. No, we're to give ourselves to the study. We're to put ourselves in positions where His Word is both proclaimed and explained, that we might grow in this wisdom. We see that we are to be active in our walk, in this pursuit. And if you recall from last week, we were reminded of how man has a tendency to go to great lengths to face great difficulties and dangers in the pursuit of something that he perceives to be valuable, such that those silver miners would go down into those chasms on a precarious little rope without any safety harnesses, out of a desire to attain for themselves something of value. He says, if man will go to such great lengths for something that will not go with them when they leave this life, how much more are we to give ourselves to that which cannot be taken from us, which lasts far longer than silver and gold? He talks here about investing in verse 14. And many of us have some understanding, as basic as it may be, of investing. We don't apply our monies, those monies that God has been pleased to lavish upon us, in anything that we know will yield a loss knowingly. That would be foolish. But instead, we seek to invest in something that will yield a good return. And so we watch diligently to see whether the stock market will continue to crawl up so that our retirement plans will continue to yield a good yield. We're quite interested in those numbers. We're quite interested to know that our investments will generate something. And here is Solomon, as he implores with his son to pay attention to and to study the Word of God, saying, listen, here is an investment whose return is unrivaled by anything else in this life, that will far surpass and have far greater lasting value for you than those talents that you would try to apply or invest in the market, those talents that you would bury for safekeeping. He says here, the wisdom of God is far better than the gain from silver, far better profit than that of gold. Which again is to impress upon us how God's Word ought to be something that we yearn after, hunger for, and seek continually in all areas of faith and life. Because it has something to say, because it has a value, because it can guide us and save us from unnecessary hurts and frustrations, difficulties and disappointments, as we would seek to apply God's wisdom to these areas of our life. Not only does God's wisdom surpass all else, but we see here he moves on into the second section in verses 15 to 18. And he describes this wonderful companion. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor, her ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. If you look ahead in the book of Proverbs, I would argue you see another picture of this later in Proverbs 31, where the godly woman is described. That godly woman is described with many of the same descriptors that we find here in Proverbs 3. And we shouldn't be surprised by that, for here is Solomon pleading with his son that he would be attentive to the law of God. Why? But that he would take on all of those glorious characteristics of the bride of Christ. That he would show those same attributes in his life that are well befitting one who would be the bride of Christ. And so here, this wisdom is described as more precious than jewels. Just as any husband that is present here will attest to how his wife is more valuable than jewels for what she can do, what she has done, how she continues to aid him in growing and not being stuck with those same failures or weaknesses that were ours before God blessed us with a godly spouse. This wisdom of God, who is here described as being more valuable to jewels, Solomon says, there's nothing that you can imagine that surpasses the worth, the value of this wisdom. And we can imagine a lot. We imagine that a lot of the pleasures of this life are worthy of some pursuit. And yet Solomon says, but it fades into insignificance when we hold it up against God's wisdom. When we truly understand the all-encompassing nature of how the knowledge of God and His wisdom affects all of our life, reins in our thinking, harnesses our tongue, controls our action, gives direction to our steps. all in a fashion that will yield the glory of God and His delight in us and our growing delight in Him as we see and understand more fully the benefits of His commands as they are intended for our good. They're not intended to rob us of joy in this life. They're intended to save us from the disappointments, hardships, pain, suffering, frustrations that come with our sin. And so it is that this is a wonderful companion. How is it that this wisdom yields for us long life? It saves us from a lot of those mistakes and sins and conundrums that we otherwise would get ourselves into. But it also lays at the foundation of that which guides us into the life that is to come, into that eternal life that we have in Christ. It gives to us a better understanding of it, such that that glorious life that is to come in Him far outshines anything we can imagine in this life. And so, though we may be persecuted, though we may face difficulties and pressures in this life, our eyes continue to be fixed upon that which is our inheritance, that which is our home, and that dwelling which will be ours with Him. God's wisdom is for us a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. And those who hold fast to her are called blessed. And then lastly, he turns to another tactic. In order to impress this upon his son, once again, he utilizes the example of God Himself, evoking God's own use of His own wisdom for His glorious purposes, for the wonderful work of His creation. In verses 19 and 20, the Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. You can hear here Solomon saying to his son, listen, if you won't hear my words, look at the example of God Himself. Think again about the powerful way that God's wonderful wisdom has been preserved for you within the Word of God. That God, in His wonderful and abundant wisdom, spoke, and all that is came into being. The power of the Word, the power of His creative wisdom. Increasingly, year after year, as scientists delve deeper into the complexities of cells or atoms, and we marvel at all that comprises these smallest elements of life. At the same time, they are stretching their telescopes toward the heavens, and we're looking further and further out into space, and we marvel again at the complexities of all that God has created. And these serve to us as natural reminders of His power, of His wisdom, that these things work as they do, that they hold together, of His preserving power, sustaining power, His ongoing interest in all that He has created, that He sustains these things and keeps them in their place over all of these millennia. You see, this too should be a powerful reminder to us, should be an incentive to us to delve deeper into His Word, to spend time in His Word, that we would both grow in our appreciation of all that He has done as we see His wonderful plan of salvation laid out for us from Genesis to the coming of Christ and to Christ's coming again and the judgment and the making right of all things as He brings about the new heaven and the new earth. When all of the common corruptions are done away with, and we will, as He intended, once again be able fully, to walk in accord with His will, to be sinless, to be in that glorified state that He created us, to be with Him, to hear His word with our own ears, to marvel at His glorious radiance. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing greater than we can invest in this life, than in the Word of God. It will help you in your time of need. It will uphold you in your distress. It will be to you a refuge in your troubles. And it will set your feet upon a path that leads to Him, where you will reside forevermore. Brothers and sisters, may we ourselves, as we are shaped and molded by His Word, resemble that godly bride laid out for us in Proverbs 31. He can do it. Seek Him. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to shape you and mold you to this end. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank You. We thank You again that You have not left us to our own devices. You have not left us without instruction. But an expression of Your great love for us is that You would choose to reveal Yourself. And then, Lord, after You have revealed Yourself, to preserve Your Word for us. And even then, Lord, You do not leave us as Your little children without a guide, but You and Your Son have sent forth the Spirit, that Your Spirit may indwell us, guiding and directing, correcting us where necessary, that we might grow in our appreciation of Your wisdom, that we might truly understand it to be of greater value than jewels, a greater return than silver or gold. Lord, may our life and practice exhibit a true understanding and love for Your Word. Lord, may we not neglect time in Your Word. May we not put it off to the latest possible time in our day. But Lord, may we recall Your Word throughout the day. May it guide our thinking. May it direct our step, such that at the end of the day we marvel at how Your Word was rightly before us when needed, out of Your wonderful providence. And Lord, as we experience Your hand guiding us through Your Word, may we be quick to give You thanks. Giving You thanks for the riches of Your Word, for the minds that You've enabled to now comprehend, understand, and appreciate this Word. And Lord, if there are those that You put across our path who do not know You and are not studiers of Your Word, Lord, may You give us the courage to reach out to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family members, to invite them to study Your Word with us, that they too may come to know You, that they may be added to the number of those being saved each day by the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Your church would continue to grow and expand, that new communities would have a faithful witness established within them, that You would change nations as You would so control and rule over the hearts and minds of those called to rule, that Your peace would be known here and abroad. Lord, we pray all these things in our mighty Savior's name, that of Jesus Christ. Amen.